First of all, I'd like to call on Claudette Kamanda, an elder from Kitigan-Zibi, and also Chancellor of the University of Ottawa. Claudette?
I want to begin by acknowledging the ambassador. It's a pleasure to meet you again. I want to thank the organizers for inviting me to be here, and of course to our community leaders and to all community members. And I do see a relative that Murray Quay. It's always a blessing when I see one of my relatives. Again, as I said, I'm very honored to be here. And for those of you that know me and those of you that met me last year when I came to speak here at St. Bridget's and to share the experience of First Nation women and the impacts of colonization, how many of you have heard me many times say how much I love Ireland and how much I great respect that I have for the Irish people? And I do. I absolutely do. Your home country of Ireland is so beautiful. The land, the people, and the food. And the coffee. And believe it, it's from Colombia. I was asked to say some words and to do the protocol of our people, the Algonquin people. And I will do that protocol. And it's important, this protocol is really important because it speaks about who we are. It speaks about the connection to our land. It speaks about our creation. It speaks about our history. It speaks about our present. And it also speaks about our future. Because we were here, we are here, and we will always be here. And it also speaks about our responsibility to welcome everyone into our circle. Because we are all related. And we must walk together in that good, kind way. And especially more so today in what's going on around the world. So the power and the beauty of culture, the power and beauty of identity, the power and beauty of history is so remarkable. And it does create friendships, it does create alliances, it does create relationships, and it certainly does provide that opportunity to help one another. But we must do so in that good, kind way always, generosity, compassion, kindness, and love, as what you will see here this evening in this exhibit. And I was so exceptionally honored to learn the role and to actually see on paper, to see in pictures, and to hear the stories of how the Irish people thanked the Anishinaabe people for their generosity in helping the Irish people during their time of hardship and hunger. Nichkiwe dug, miigwej, miigwej, ininini wag eshishikwe wag, miigwej kibija yego ma nongum, pijajiko ma anishnabe eki o mama wenini wag. Nibuk sendam, onje kakina, nongum mashishwabang, nibuk sendam mashkawi within. Bakawin. Minopomazuin a shish zogi edwin. Kichimigwej kishiminado kichimigwej onje kakina. The Irish community and friends. And what I said in my language was, welcome to each and every one of you beautiful people. Welcome to this beautiful homeland of the Algonquin people. The homeland that has been here since time immemorial. The homeland that was entrusted onto us for our children, and to ensure that our children will have a homeland, even though 7 generations that will come. So welcome, brothers and sisters. And I acknowledge each and every one of you, beautiful people. And it is said when we come together, and that responsibility, when we welcome people, we also want to show that generosity to welcome you into our home. We always say, Iwiwisenen giniminagwe namadabi. We say, come on in. Have a seat. You want something to eat? You want something to drink? And you all know you do that, right? When anybody comes to your home. I don't have food or drink to offer you. Perhaps my words and my heart and my love for you and my respect is that food that I offer you, my friendship. So I welcome you to this beautiful homeland of the Algonquin people. And we must also give a blessing to anyone who comes into our home. And we say, Yangwamazin Niwichke, Nigawamin, Nibuksendam, Minopomazwin, Nibuksendam, Gogiediwin. I wish each and every one of you and your families good health in mind, heart, spirit, and physical. I wish you to always walk and be blessed with wisdom. I wish you, bless you with a good life, and most importantly, love. And let us show that love to one another. Thank you, and I'm very honored to say this.
Thank you, Elder Commandant. I'm so glad you were able to come to represent your community of Kitigan-Zibi. Now I'd like to introduce the creator of this exhibit and one of the original researchers of this amazing historical discovery. Jason is academic advisor to the National Famine Museum in Ireland, as well as the Irish Trust. Jason, I'd like you to come up and give us a few words on the creation of this exhibit.
Thank you, Mike. I'm actually just going to offer some thanks as our co-creator of the exhibit, Professor Mark McGowan, will be describing the historical context from which the records featured in this exhibit originated. I'd like to start by welcoming you all, thanking you all for coming on behalf of the National Famine Museum at Strokestown Park in County Roscommon in Ireland, where I work, and the Irish Heritage Trust. We're delighted to have you all here with us today. And I'd like to acknowledge the wonderful work that our collaborators on this exhibit have put in. In particular, Professor Mark McGowan, the University of St. Michael's College at the University of Toronto, and Regis College at the University of Toronto, where this exhibit first opened in November before it transferred here to Ottawa. And I'd like to also acknowledge the work of Kelly McCann, a fellow archivist whose research played an indispensable role in creating this exhibit. I'd like to acknowledge and thank our funder, the Government of Ireland's Department of Foreign Affairs, the Emigrant Support Program, and Ambassador John Kincannon for helping us launch the exhibit today, as well as Toronto Consul Janice McGann, who helped us launch the exhibit in Ottawa, and Honorary Consul Brian O'Gallagher in Quebec, who is also facilitating our transfer of the exhibit. And finally, and most importantly, I want to acknowledge all of the Indigenous contributors contributors to this exhibit, whose stories you see featured in the storyboards and in the videos that accompany the exhibit. There is an online version as well, titled simply "Honoring Indigenous Aid." If you Google that, you can see this material as well. And finally, I want to thank Claudette Commanda for her wonderful contributions to the exhibit. I've had the pleasure of meeting Claudette on a number of occasions now, and I'm just delighted that she's here today. So thank you again for coming.
Thanks, Jason. Now, you did start in on an introduction to Professor Mark McGowan. I should add a couple of things. Mark is a very humble guy, but he is now a fellow of the Royal Society of Canada, which is quite an accomplishment. And Mark never forgot where he comes from. He's an Ottawa boy, Pius X High School, Ottawa U. And so Mark is well at home in Ottawa here. Mark.
I'm actually actually from Bell's Corners, and so as they often say, you can take the kid out of Bell's Corners, but you never take the Bell's Corners out of the kid, which is why I'm not wearing a tie, because nobody would recognize me tonight. So what we have here is something that I've come to refer to as a story that was hidden in plain sight. Neither Jason or I discovered this. In fact, as we were finishing the first stage and making our presentation of this in Ireland in 2023, I received an email from Kelly McCann, and Kelly was very generous with what he had dug up when he was working at Crown Indigenous Affairs. And I'd like to acknowledge Kelly's work, which complements our own, and we, in a sense, this has been a very collective effort. And in fact, when we met Darren Wabenga, a knowledge keeper and elder at Mississaugas of the New Credit, he had known about the one letter but hadn't seen the entire context. So what I'd like to say is that what we've done is we've not discovered, we've recovered. And recovered so that this is both an Irish story and a story of great generosity by the Indigenous peoples of both what is now Ontario and Quebec. Beside me, you see this painting painted by Philippe Côté, Ojibwe Anishinaabe artist in Toronto, who painted a portrait that he calls Sacred Feathers, Kakakawanabe, after Peter Jones, who was Ogima of the Mississaugas of the Credit at the time, and that story is on the back wall. But you'll also notice, as this painting is in the woodland style of Morisseau, and it's also, as you could look at the sleeve that Peter Jones has there, he's got emblazoned on the sleeve the Irish harp to commemorate this particular donation. So do come and see this painting, because it's quite unique, and it was a gift, in a sense, to this exhibit. The exhibit itself, you follow from Thomas Gummersall Anderson's request to those within his jurisdiction as superintendent of Indian Affairs, as they called it in those days in 1847. You notice, coincidentally, the date, 17th of March, 1847. And then you begin to read some of the letters. And Jason and I have selected several of the letters that we thought were important. Just to give you a sense that each of these letters, okay, except the one actually penned in the hand of Peter Jones, was essentially translated by the local missionary or school teacher into English. Each of these letters has a common, a common sense to it. First of all, they acknowledge the receipt of the letter in their band. Secondly, they express that this letter was brought to council. This is not the decision of an individual. The Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee peoples and the Huron-Wendat, who were represented in these letters, gathered together to discuss it. Each letter expresses remorse and even horror at the plight of what they call their destitute white brethren in Ireland. And at that point, they decide unanimously in each letter to offer part of their annuity given to them as part of their treaty, okay, with the Crown, that annuity would go to the relief effort. When what's interesting is each of these letters said, we would give more, but we are poor. What we have in these letters, when you excavating 1,400 documents and then finding the letters in them, you get to learn how much, in terms of real value at the time, these donations mean. So, for example, what seemed to be an insignificant £5 or £12 in our sense actually could have bought a team of oxen, or could have bought provisions for 3 months, or could have helped pay for a blacksmith or a school teacher in their particular reserve areas. These are not small amounts. These are people giving not out of their superfluous goods, they're giving out of their very selves to this. And you'll notice that each of these letters, at least from the Anishinaabe people, okay, whether they be the Potawatomi, the Chippewa, the Ojibwe, the Mississauga, each bears the name of one of the Ogima, one of the chiefs, and then their dodom, or totem, if have you were. And the more we began to study the letters, and I have a colleague, Heidi Bohacker, at University of Toronto, who's a specialist in treaties, and Heidi and I put our heads together, and then I thought, these are significant, because an Englishman looking at these would say, oh, well, he didn't know how to write in English, so he just scribbled an animal. Not so. The dodom was symbolic of family, of culture, of Anishinaabe law, of their very sense of peoplehood. These were the symbols that were used to inscribe those treaties that had been agreed to by the Crown. And when you think of the way in which First Nations looked at treaties, not as one person over another or one people over another, but a reciprocity, an agreement to come in times of need, an agreement as allies with one another. And then you begin to read the letters in an entirely different way, through a different lens. And that lens is, our allies are in desperate need. We are obliged as treaty people to help. And I can only reflect in saying, I wish sometimes or often the Crown had respected their treaty obligations in a similar way. And so we have an exhibition that begins and then ends, ironically, with the Irish and the World Games and the women's team having been admitted to the World Games, but the Iroquois nation not considered by the American organizers as being a sovereign nation. And the Irish women gave up their position at those games so that the Iroquois nation women could play. And now we're seeing that kind of reciprocity, not from Canadians either. So some people accuse me and say, Mark, you're rewriting history. You know, you woke people are rewriting history. I don't even know what that word means. But what I know is that we're not rewriting history, we're expanding the lens. We are taking what was a narrow lens and being inclusive of all of those other voices and all of those other activities. My colleague, Jonathan Hamilton Diabo from Kanawage says, Mark, we have always been a giving people, but publicly we're always seen as taking, taking, taking. And Mike DeGagne of Inspire said the same thing. And in this particular case, we at least have now brought to the light of day, and through listening exercises at various bands across the province, and we're not finished yet, Jason and I go and we listen. We present the letters and we listen. And just as kind of a footnote to that, Darren Wabango was one of the first to read the letters on film, as Jason is wont to be an aspiring filmmaker, and we've made a film. But as he read through the letter from Peter Jones and Joseph Sawyer from the Mississaugas of the Credit, who were about to have their lands auctioned within days of sending that permission for a donation, Darren Wabanga paused and he said, this is very special. It shows the generosity of our people despite adversity, despite hunger, despite our poverty, despite the crops that had failed in Credit. But he said, what makes this particularly special to me is that Joseph Sawyer was my four times great-grandfather. And that's when the hair on the back of this historian's neck begins to stand up, because we hear this again and again. I'd like to thank Jason for being, in a sense, my ongoing partner in bringing this story to public attention. I'd like to thank the support of the Irish Embassy and the Irish Consul General in Toronto. The support that I've received at the University of St. Michael's College, in the University of Toronto, and Regis College, which was a very appropriate first stop for this particular exhibit. Kelly McCann for his work for many years, and finally, he's now being recognized for being one of the co-discoverers or co-recoverers of these letters in his capacity. All of those, like Mike McBain here in Ottawa, who have been very supportive in bringing here this exhibit for you. my deepest gratitude, and hopefully this will be one of many stories that can be told, because reconciliation will only happen when the truths are told. I think this is one of the truths. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Those very powerful words. It's a great pleasure to introduce Ireland's ambassador to Canada, John Concannon. John. I read that John was born in Sligo, but I think you're really a Galway man. And an Irishman from the West in Canada is great. It's our great fortune to have you as Ireland's representative. And thank you so much for your support for the Irish in Ottawa and the Ottawa Valley. Thanks.
Good evening, everybody. And Tafoja Rule could be on a special of the show coming up. You're all very, very welcome to this very, very special occasion here in Bridgeswell this evening. And thank you very much for inviting me to be part of it. It's Irish Heritage Month, as you may be aware, officially Irish Heritage Month, in March. We're coming to the end of March. And myself and my wife Mary, she's just flown back to Ireland, but we've had the opportunity to travel around Canada for the last month representing Ireland and meeting hundreds and thousands of people. And I can report back that there is massive love for Ireland in Canada, and that love is reciprocated in Ireland for Canada. But this month has been remarkable. We've had the opportunity to really meet people who go way back in our story. For example, in Montreal, where we walked in the 200th parade, we started that day up at Black Rock, where we visited the biggest mass grave in Canada, where 6,000 Irish people lay buried, having come off the ships in 1847. But also Black Rock is a testament to the incredible kindness of the people of Montreal, because 75,000 Irish refugees arrived that summer into a city of 50,000 people, and the people of Montreal took us into their homes and looked after us when we had nothing. We went down to Toronto, where we paid our respects at the famine memorial there. In that same summer, the 20,000 residents of Toronto City welcomed with open arms 40,000 refugees from Ireland. And we weren't investors or tourists. We were either one of three things. We were either very, very sick, dying, or dead when we arrived. And the people of Toronto took us into their homes and built hospitals and shelters for us. We went to Quebec last weekend for an absolutely incredible parade and talked to the people at Gros Isle for the National Monument. Again, all of the work to welcome us into this country in 1847. And all of that kindness is so important to remember now, because when we were really, really stuck, when we were at our lowest point as a country, when we were leaving because there was no food to eat, Canada was there for us. And always, it's very important for me in my role to remember that and to thank Canada, because we'll never, ever forget it. So I think a round of applause for the people of Canada. And, you know, the journey this week has continued to pay tribute to that. Myself and Mary went with Michael on Monday, just of this week, down the road there to the hospital and where we met the Sisters of Charity, who were the people who looked after us here in Ottawa. And they set up a hospital for us, and they set up two schools for our children, and they looked after the Irish orphans. So to have the opportunity to thank them in person was very special. And to be here tonight, to be part of the opening of this exhibition is just absolutely wonderful. Because on Saturday, we went up to, in Quebec, we met with the chief of the Wendat people at the tribe. And it was just fantastic to share the story and how important it is for the Wendat people, this story. Because as Mark said, and it is worth repeating, the First Nations were being ran off their lands they were being persecuted and treated incredibly poorly at the time, and they still found the time and the space and the compassion to send money back to Ireland when they didn't have it. They had so little. And to find this work that Jason has led with Mark and so many collaborators, it's just such an important part of our story, and it's part of that story which demonstrates that compassion and the kindness and the humanity of all of the people of Canada, but in particular the people of the First Nations, and that tangible evidence that shows that they said, you know, we're not in a great place ourselves, but we're going to help the Irish. And for us to be standing here nearly 180 years later to acknowledge that is particularly special. And I'd like to thank the Vice Chancellor, Commander, for being here, all of the First Nations friends for being here, all of the Irish community who are here, the wonderful Irish community here in Ottawa, of which we have 19 Irish organisations. Someone pointed out to me I've got it wrong. We've actually 21, so I'm going to change it to 21 Irish organisations here in Ottawa. It is an immense privilege to be Ireland's ambassador to Canada, to be representing Ireland here when we have 5 million people identify as Irish. Canada has been a beacon of light for Irish for so many years, and that light is shining very brightly on these boards when we see our family that we share together in the First Nations, this beautiful painting that represents it all. And I think it behoves all of us, and certainly I will be doing everything we can to continue to remember this, because if we don't remember history, history repeats itself. And Canada, at a time when migration is very topical and migration is something that people have different views on, but at a time, Ireland were the refugees and we were looked after. And we want to thank you, thank everybody involved in this exhibition. And if I could just have one last note to say that we have been blown away by the Irish community here in Ottawa and the welcome we've got and the thanks. And I know many of you made it across. It was only this day a week ago. We had a reception in our house, and it was fabulous. And some people joined us at Riverdance. That was amazing too. Some people even danced down the streets. I won't be saying who it was now. But anyway, we all know who that might be. It was great. But I wanted to, and I don't want to single anyone out, but I will, because within our community, and we have the likes of Michael, who's written extensively, and Jason we've referred to, but Mark McGowan has done so much for the Irish story. And you know, Mark is not only a proud Irish Canadian, but he's a true friend of Ireland. And to have the intellectual rigour and research and capacity and generosity of spirit, which you can see on stage tonight, is something we're deeply indebted for. And I'd like to, and one of the reasons I'm singling out Mark is because he's finishing his term in St. Mike's in Toronto in June. So we mightn't have another chance to do it, and if we do, that's even better. But I would really like to acknowledge the work of Mark and his team in Toronto to keep the story alive and to keep making us feel so proud about Irish and Ireland Canadians. So thank you very much, Mark. So I think that's, I'd just like to draw to a close and thank everybody, thank the councillor representing City Council and Ottawa Council, all of the wonderful, and two councillors even, fantastic, thank you very much for coming and all the support of the Irish community, particularly next year when we have the parade back, and we look forward to working together on that one, Pat. And big round of applause for the 2026 parade. You heard it here first, you heard it here first. No, but we're working on that, City Council. But no, joking aside, it's great to have the Irish community, the City Council, University of Toronto, University of Ottawa, and all our friends here tonight. So I'd like to really just finally say, well done. It's a wonderful exhibition. Have a lovely evening, and thank you very, very much for inviting me. Gur míle maith.
Thank you, Ambassador. I want to thank everybody for coming. It's very generous of you to come tonight and spread the word, and don't be shy to leave some comments before you leave. Enjoy. Thank you.